4 days of fighting in Europe, Germany officially surrendered to the Allies. Life for the average Briton during that time had been very restricted. Some rules were necessary, but at first glance, bizarre. You couldn't have a radio in your car or release a racing pigeon without first notifying the police, for example. But many restrictions were vital. Coal rationing meant that some people were forced to dig up their cinder paths and sift out the coke for fuel. When visiting neighbours, you might bring a lump of coal with you to contribute to the heating of the house. Sugar rationing meant that wedding cakes were small, but you could borrow a cardboard cake from the baker to put over your modest offering good in the wedding photos. Clothes were rationed, which meant that socks were darned until little of the original remained. You would unravel the upper part to mend holes in the foot. Blackout material, sofa coverings and curtains were used to make clothes. D-Day meant an end was in sight to that hardship, and an immediate end to bombing raids, V1 flying bombs and V2 rockets. The nanny to Princess Elizabeth, Marion Crawford, wrote, "No one not in England at that time can realise the almost hysterical relief that came with the lessening of the awful tension we had come through. No more lying awake at night, listening." VE Day meant an end to worrying about loved ones in the European war, the dread of the knock at the door with bad news. So you can see why on the 8th of May, the nation let their hair down. You'll have seen the footage this week many times on television. Parties took place in the streets and on bomb sites. Trestle tables were set up, decorated with vases filled with flowers from gardens and allotments. Radiograms and gramophones were pulled onto pavements to provide music to dance to. Neighbours pulled sweet rations and tinned fruit that they'd been saving for years just for this day. Grocers donated fruit and jellies, and some children ate oranges for the first time and learnt to their cost not to eat the peel. In Westcott, there were street parties in Watson Road and Bailey Road. This, if you've got a screen, is a picture of the party in Watson Road. A tea was laid out for 80 people. There were prayers of thanksgiving and then races, with the winners receiving the very exciting prizes of saving stamps. On the green, the Boy Scouts roped off an area for dancing and built a stage and put on a show. In Dorking, there were spontaneous parties in West Street and the High Street. The electrical shop Clears, who are still in the High Street, put loudspeakers outside the shop for people to dance to the music. But the main focus, of course, was on London, where a crowd of over 20,000 people gathered in front of Buckingham Palace. And famously, Princess Elizabeth snuck out of the palace with Margaret and mingled with the tens of thousands in the West End. She remembered all of us were swept along by a tide of happiness and relief. Britain was on double British summertime in May 1945, so it didn't get dark till about 10 o'clock. So that's when most of the bonfires, made up of wood from bomb sites and broken furniture, were lit. Many effigies of Hitler or Goering on the top. Common. There was a large bonfire on the green in front of the remains of the Norman church that had been wrecked by a V1 flying bomb the year before. On the green at Westcott, there was a bonfire 20 feet high. The celebrations carried on until midnight, and then people watched the display of searchlights high above the streets of London. Many of the strongest memories people had of V-Day was the return of light. All the blackout curtains and shutters came down. Some families stood in the street just to look at the novelty of their house with all the lights ablaze. Yet there was more to VE Day than just those celebrations. Like so much in history, that wasn't the full story. In amongst the partying, there were people who felt they'd little to celebrate, and their stories are not always told. Here are just a few of some of the people that I've come across. Pat Hazelhurst was working in an accountant's office in Shrewsbury on VE Day. Her husband was a soldier who died in 1944. She was relieved at the end of the day to go home, collapse on her bed, and put her head under a pillow. She wrote, "I was glad for the folks that were coming home, but there was nothing for me to celebrate." On VE Day, soldier Vic West was sitting in his home in West London with a pile of ham sandwiches and three bottles of beer. He said, "I wasn't the least impressed by the victory junketing going on in London or radio reports of Churchill on the balcony in the palace. I was just relieved that I'd made it." Sylvia Zulman was right in the middle of those jubilant celebrations in the West End. She'd come to Britain in 1939 as a refugee from Germany. She said, "I wanted to dance, to be merry, but I felt no elation." What held Sylvia back was the worry about her relatives in Poland and France, concerned that they'd all been killed. The war in Europe was over, and yet clearly some didn't feel that victory was theirs, or feel particularly victorious. In those faces in the VE Day pictures, there are probably people pretending to smile. Away from the cameras, there are those feeling sad and lost. Perhaps just like some of those people 75 years ago, you know, you may not be feeling especially victorious. Perhaps the lockdown is all too much. Perhaps your faith is fragile and full of doubt. Perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed by worry about loved ones and concerned about the future. The 8th of May, VE Day, is also the feast day of Julian of Norwich, the 14th century saint who devoted her life to prayer in a small cell in a church in the city. Her book, Revelations of Divine Love, still inspire Christians today. She wrote, "Jesus did not say, 'You shall not be troubled, you shall not be travailed, you shall not be diseased,' but he said, 'You shall not be overcome.'" She believed that whatever we go through, whatever hardship or sufferings, God's nature and God's name is love. Julian wrote one of the most famous Christian sayings, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." In other words, it may not feel like it, but we are and will be victorious. As Christians, we know that, in the words of the hymn, "Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won." Jesus' death on the cross is the turning point in history, the defining victory. As Paul says in the reading that we heard from 1 Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. God gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was well aware of his disciples' frailty, their ability to get the wrong end of the stick, to doubt him. During the Last Supper, watched by the disciples, probably with typical incomprehension, Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, keep doing this. Keep sharing bread and wine. They represent my sacrifice, my victory. I think we fallible disciples need a constant reminder of that triumph over sin and death. Jesus said that we would not be travailed and troubled, but that we shall not be overcome. When we celebrate communion later, you might like to claim that reassurance and that victory. On VE Day, everything changed, but in some ways, nothing changed. That night, thousands in London were still homeless, still bombed out of their houses. Over 12,000 people slept in underground stations and air raid shelters. Fighting was still going on in Prague, and of course, in the Far East. That street party in Watson Road was next to the remains of four houses that had been hit by a bomb. Nine people were killed, including small children. In the laughter on VE Day, there must have been tears. So too for us. Victory is won, but that doesn't mean that there won't be struggles now or in the future. On Friday night, before the Queen spoke, they played a clip of her father, George VI, broadcasting at 9 p.m. on VE Day. He'd rehearsed it many times that afternoon with his ever-faithful speech therapist, Lionel Logue. The king spoke of a day of just triumph and proud sorrow, and ended by saying, "In the hour of danger, we humbly committed our cause into the hand of God, and he has been our strength and shield. Let us thank him for his mercies, and in this hour of victory, commit ourselves and our new task to the guidance of that same strong hand." May we, in these difficult times, commit ourselves to God with the assurance that we shall not be overcome. Amen.